want to see everybody out this evening. Welcome our visitors that are with us this evening. Always encouragement to have you here to visit with us. We hope that we're encouragement to you as we go throughout our worship service also. And it's just always good to be able to come and gather, to worship, to study. And again, it's good to be able to get into other classes and to study as I am teaching. I don't know what age level I'm going to say that is, but the class under the young adults. And part of the first study that was in that lesson is, so at the young adult class is studying also, but the study was, what is a Christian? And one of the points that it went through in what is a Christian was that a Christian is a pilgrim. And I want to go ahead and just talk about that more as I went through the study and looking at it and reviewed it in class this morning. And talking about being a pilgrim, how we are supposed to be pilgrims upon this earth. And as we think about pilgrims, that they are strangers and born aliens to whatever land in which they are at the time and moment. And so we can picture how many visit the United States, or as you might travel to other states and just visit somewhere else, you feel the differences and you notice some things that are different. And it's just one thing that we can think about, many things we can throw in that. But I want to look out as Christians today, we should feel as pilgrims here on earth. We should feel like pilgrims here on earth. And so, if you open up your Bibles and follow along, and the first point I want to look at is a couple of antitypes from the Old Testament that kind of is referred to in the New Testament, and the point of them being pilgrims and wandering, and of course the term Hebrew, as they go forth and were strangers in the land in which they had dwelled. Hebrews chapter 11, if you will, Hebrews chapter 11, and of course as you're going through this, and it talks about Noah, it talks about Jacob and Isaac and Sarah, and how they were strangers in which the land they dwelled in. Hebrews 11, and in verse 9, it says, by faith he went to live in the land of the promise, in as in foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. And then in verse 13 it says, these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. So different terms in which, and it depends on what translation you have, it might use the term pilgrim in a lot of these verses, but here it brings out they were strangers, that they were exiles in this land. As they wandered about, they went forth and went from place to place, but even as they got to Canaan, they were the strangers. Now, this is the land that they end up taking over, but, you know, that's one of the problems that as they didn't drive everyone out of the nation is that they had different customs. They had idols that they worshiped. They had different ways in which they worshiped. And they started to take their ways of worship and applying them to their own. And they started worshiping their own idols, the idols of the people in the land in which they dwelt. And so therefore, they were supposed to be strangers. And so they started to conform, as we're told not to do in Romans 12, verse 2. But rather to be transformed, continue in the way of God. They were strangers in the land in which they dwelt. David also felt as a stranger as his forefathers had been. You look at Psalm 39 and in verse 12. This is the Psalm of David. It says, hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Hold not your peace at my ear, tears, for I am a sojourner with you, a guest like all my fathers. And it's very similar there in Chronicles, as you read it there, David speaking. I think that's supposed to be Second Chronicles. And David is speaking there. It's very similar saying that he said here in Psalm. And, you know, he's a stranger in this land. And that he realizes, but of course he's a stranger just within his own people, as he would try to follow God and his own people coming after him, his own people defying him, his own family coming up against him. And so there were kind of antitypes as we look to the children of Israel, the children of God, and to us today, how we are supposed to be pilgrims, though, that we are
pilgrims in the land today, in this world, not just America, but in this world, we are pilgrims. In 1 Peter 1, if you will, 1 Peter 1, and looking at verse 1, 1 Peter 1, verse 1, it says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles. We've been exiled. We don't fit in. We no longer remain. As he goes listing these cities, and you know, we are those who don't fit in with everybody else. Why? Because verse 2, according to the knowledge of God the Father, the sanctification of the Spirit, obedience to Jesus Christ, for sprinkling with the blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. It is according to the knowledge of our faith in Christ. They were exiled. They were cast out. They were not accepted. You know, as again, one of the interesting points, if you look at the times in this lesson, I brought it out. I didn't really go into the detail in this the lesson itself, but it brought out the three times we see the word Christian in the Bible. And when they first called Christians in Antioch, when King Agrippa said, almost persuaded me to be a Christian, and Peter, when he says, suffering as a Christian. All three are experiences of suffering. All three of them. Because when it was first in Antioch, that's when they were all spread about, talking about they spread about after Stephen had died, and then they would disperse, they went from this city to that city, and they were first called Christians. And again, Agrippa talks about Christians as Paul is on trial, and then Peter. And so as we think about us as pilgrims, you're not always accepted when you're the different person, when you have a different culture, when you have different lifestyle, when you teach different things than what everybody else wants to hear and what everybody's accustomed to. And so when we go forth and we follow Christ and we teach His way, we're not always accepted as Christians because people don't want to hear the teachings of Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11, 1 Peter 2, in verse 11 here, it says, Beloved, I urge you as sojourners, and exiles to abstain from the passions of flesh which wage war against your soul. Again, he's saying stay a pilgrim is what he's saying. You know, those who have been exiled, those who are aliens, those who are strangers, I urge you to stay that way. Stay different. We got a mindset today that we want to fit in with the world. We want to be accepted. We want to look like everybody else. We want to do what everybody else is doing. That's always the excuse, right? Everybody else is doing it. Well, that's how people will know that we are different. Again, when people go from one place to another, we notice little differences. Sometimes they're big differences. Right? If you come from a different country, you don't even speak our language, then it's a big difference. If you go to another country, you don't speak their language, it's a big difference. Well, then even if you start to learn another language, you have an accent. Even as you live in the States, we go from north to south or west to east, you have a different accent. They go, hey, you're not from around here, are you? Oh, I thought that sounded a little bit. I don't fit in anywhere to say no. I go up north, they say I got a little bit. I go down south. I got too much. I've been here. Don't fit in. But we notice those differences. And God tells us that we'll be known by our fruits. When we read about loving our enemies, blessing them, and praying for them this morning, you continue in that reading. He says, and why do we do this? Because we're going to be like our Father up above. Because if we only love our friends and our neighbors and those who do good unto us, what different are we than the rest of the world, than our enemies? We'll be known by our fruits. We are pilgrims. We are different than the rest of the world. We're supposed to be strangers in this world. Therefore, as we continue to think about it, they think it's strange, right? They think it's weird. Man, have you ever thought about that? Someone who comes from somewhere else? Again, up in Indiana, we call them kitchens. You know what I'm talking about when I say kitchen? Potlucks. Right? We all call them potlucks around here, right? For the most part, I think that's what I hear everybody call them. First time I heard potluck is when I went to Missouri and I was in the preacher training program. I was like, all right, we're having a potluck after services, going to somebody's house.
I assumed everything was going to be chili and soups that were cooked in pots. It's just the word pot. The word pot is in pollock. That's what I thought was coming. And so I saw, oh, it's like, oh, everybody's pitching in. It's a pitching. That's what we're talking about in Indiana, bro. So I got confused. That was a little strange. Why we call it pollock? Not everything's cooked in pots. But hey. Well, we also, you know, people go from one place to another, say pop instead of soda. Soda instead of pop. We all talk a little different, man. We have different lifestyles. We wear different things. People think it's strange. They don't think it's strange when you don't do the things of this world, but you don't have the same attitude as this world. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 3 says, "For the time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. With respect to this, they are surprised. They are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery, and they malign you. But they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead." Here, as they go forth and they get drunk, and they go forth and they swear, and they go forth and do all these other things, and then they notice, you don't do that. They think it's strange. They think that's strange. Remember the first time I think I can really recall someone asking about it was football practice. At football practice, and I had a friend ask why I missed on Wednesday nights of games or practices. And I told him, well, I'm going to Bible class. And he goes, well, I'm going to just do as much as I can, have as much fun as I can here on earth while I can. He thought it was strange that I was missing football to go to church. Thought it was strange. Just many might think it's strange when you tell them that you're going to try to remain keep pure about sexual morality before you get married. Again, I can recall the talks in school. Well, how do you know that you're going to be attracted to somebody? They think it's strange if you don't go around swearing and cussing and lying. That's just awful. They think it's strange that we don't join in with them. Again, just imagine, I'm sure some of us can picture the same thing of our own life or those who we know. As you read here in 1 Corinthians 6, it says, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkenness, nor revelers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." Think about those who have been converted, those who he's speaking to. You were practicing these things. This person over here, he was drunk. This person was caught up in sexual immorality. This person was a liar and a swearer and a curser. And he's saying, these are the things you guys were caught up in. Now imagine the friends that they had that were used to them, that used to get caught up in that. And say, man, you changed. Why don't you ever go out with us anymore? Why don't you ever do this anymore? So I was like, what? It's weird. Why did you change? Again, as pilgrims here on earth, we're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be different. We're not supposed to fit in. We're not supposed to be caught up in the love of this world with the lust of the eye, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh. These things are passing away. We're supposed to be different as we live our lives here on earth. We're supposed to be pilgrims, looking different, talking different, standing out. The light of Christ, the light of God should be shining through us as we live from day to day, because we are citizens in heaven. Our citizenship isn't here on earth. And again, I don't know that I've ever answered that question. Where are you from? I'm always Owensboro, Kentucky. I answered the question a few times why I gone last week. Where do you remember it? That's the Church of Christ in Owensboro, Kentucky. What we call it, we live in this state, we live in this city, this is where I remember it. Where's your home at? My home's in heaven. Again, as I sit there and I say that, who here is homesick?
telling you, we always said, hey, it's so great to get back home. Back to our own house, our hometown, our home congregation. We should still be homesick because our home is up in heaven. We should be eagerly waiting for that day to be in heaven. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him even to the subject of all things to Himself. Again, who's not tired of waiting for that time to be transformed, to be made new? To see whether or not, how accurate Revelation is of the street of gold and the precious stones and the 12 gates. To see our God face to face and worship Him there. No need of sun or moon. Citizens of heaven. Not holding down to anything on this earth, letting it tie us down because it's just earthly material. It will all be burned up and dissolved one day. Hebrews 13 and verse 14. Hebrews 13 and verse 14 says, for here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. We look forward to that day. As Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you, a mansion, a room, a home for you. If I go to prepare a place, and I will come to receive you myself. I look forward to that day. Citizenship in heaven. Wearing the name Christian, again, proudly. I know we can get on a subject talk and get into a study about pride, but we should not be ashamed. Be children of God. Be followers of Christ. That's why he says, he who denies me will be denied before the Father. But the one who confesses our Lord and Savior will be confessed to the Father. Proud to be a citizen in heaven. And that we are fellow citizens of one another. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19. Ephesians 2 and in verse 19. It says here, it says, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Again, though you may not feel like you fit in when you're out in the world, you should feel like we fit in when we're with one another. Hopefully because we are all in the same faith. Having the one mindset, oneness that we should have with each other, with our Lord and Savior. Turning to John chapter 17, as our Lord and Savior prayed for our oneness, prayed for our unity that we should have as we think about that citizenship in heaven. John 17 and in verse 20, saying, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and you in me. That they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me, and love them, even as you love me. That we are supposed to be one. That we all be united in the same mind and same judgment. Paul writes to the church of Corinth that they were split. Just, I'm of Paul, and I'm of Paulus, and I'm of Cephas. It says, we're supposed to be one mind. We're supposed to be in unity with one another. We're supposed to have fellowship with each other. 1 John 1, looking at verse 3, says, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you,
so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Again, verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Again, we talk about the United States, and how we're supposed to be united. We're supposed to be united as the Lord's church, as the body of Christ, as the bride of Christ. Be one with the Lord as God is one with the Lord. God in Christ, Christ in Christ. As we are just pilgrims here on earth, waiting for that day in which our Father above set aside to judge us and to welcome those who are faithful, truly citizens. If you're here this evening and you've yet to be baptized, make sure that you are a citizen in heaven. You can do that tonight, and we encourage you to do so. If you are here and you want the prayers of the congregation, but maybe you are struggling, maybe you just you desire for the brethren to be praying for you, maybe you have fallen short, fallen back into temptation, and you would like it to be known so that we can help you from falling back into evil. If there is anything we can do to assist you.